Hour. Joining us now via phone is Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman. Matt, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. You had a school board meeting last night. You did it remotely. We'll get to that in just a moment or so. But just kind of, first of all, just your thoughts on the first couple of weeks, few weeks of how distance learning is going. How are things going?
Well, Jeff, I think that for the community can be incredibly proud of the hard work that our staff has put in to pivot in a direction to be able to have a distance learning plan that I think has gone very well overall so far. You know that we are not blind to the kinds of things that are problematic. So we are actually surveying staff and families and students this week about their experience. But if you think that this shift was announced less than 1 month ago, if you recall, you know, Governor Walz announced the closure of schools on Sunday, March 15th, effective March 18th. And if you really think about how we fundamentally shifted how we educate children in the state and across most of the nation, it's a pretty remarkable thing that we've done. There are some very positive things. We've had some very positive anecdotal conversations with parents. There have also been some struggles. And we anticipated especially the change in routine from when, you know, kids are coming to school every day with their friends or getting picked up by the bus, the same kind of school experience that they've done, you know, their entire life. And we shift to where, you know, they're learning exclusively from home. And we also know that kids are learning a lot more than just the curriculum right now. The pandemic, you know, of course, is we hope it's a once in a lifetime. It's a historic event. And so we know that students are learning much more than just what we're teaching them. But overall, so far, there's a lot of promising things that have happened with our distance learning program. And again, there are some issues that we're trying to work through, you know, ranging from we've worked very hard. Of course, we had invested in technology in the last several years, Jeff. So all of our students were able to get a school-issued device if they needed one. Students in grades 3 through 12 all have their own iPad that they use at school, and they were able to take home. Students in grades kindergarten through second grade, we have one device per two students. And we did a survey of those families, found who actually really needed a device, and we've had enough devices to cover all of those needs. In addition, through a lot of hard work, we've always had around 97-98% of our students who have home internet access. But that last 2% is a milestone we've been working very hard on over the last several weeks. And thanks to a number of district staff led by Director of Assessment Services, Hope Langston, and Director of Technology Services, Kim Brisky, we have been able to get everybody who we knew about either connected or a plan to get them connected very soon. And that's through a variety of different things, support from people at Torch and Growing Up Healthy, assistance navigating through how to get free service from Charter. The district purchased 50 T-Mobile hotspots to provide internet for those who didn't have another option. And then a very creative partnership with local business Northfield Wi-Fi, funded by the Northfield Healthy Community Initiative, also helped about 15 families get internet access. So we get those basics up and running, and now our teachers have done this phenomenal job of changing their pedagogy, and they are all beginners again. So we really appreciate people's support and understanding. We absolutely know that there's room for growth, but if you think about changing an entire system in less than a month, I think for right now we can say we have had a success, acknowledging that there are a number of things that we will continuously improve upon.
All right. Now, you had gone with kind of the idea that less is more in a situation like that. Is that proven out to be the case?
So it's an interesting question, Jeff, because less is more, and what's the right amount of work each day for a student? There's a wide variation of expectations from parents to teachers to students. And so one of the questions that we are asking on our survey of families is, you know, is the amount of work just about right? Is it too much? Is it too little? And we just launched the survey last night. So the first 150 or so responses are showing that about two-thirds of the families, as I reviewed this survey data late last night, were, and that's a generalization across the board, but 60% in each of our surveys at the elementary, middle school, and high school level were saying it was just about right. So we'll continue to monitor that. It's very early returns, but we're very interested to find out what's the right amount of content to deliver each day. Because as you know, Jeff, when kids come to school, it's an entire experience. The academic is the core of it. But there's a lot of other things that kids do every day at school that are very meaningful that we're not able to replicate in the distance learning environment. So we're watching that very closely and trying to make sure that we get the best feedback that we can from all of the stakeholders to say, how are we doing? You know, and we absolutely recognize there will always be people who think we should have more. There will always be people who think we have less. And our goal is to say, can we get most people to where we think that this is about the right amount for kids to do each day at home during this very unusual time.
Now, the governor has extended the stay-at-home order until early May, and the emergency state into May, into mid-May. Are you at the point now, do you have to make plans for both being in school and not being in school the last month of the year? And things like, graduation, are those still up in the air?
Yes, so as you just said, the governor has extended the stay-at-home order until May 4th, but the current executive order that directed the Commissioner of Education to establish a distance learning program goes through May 4th. It actually goes through April 30th and then designates Friday, May 1st and Monday, May 4th as days for staff to come in and prepare for the return of students on May 5th. That being said, the governor has not so subtly said publicly, and then also to us as superintendents on a statewide superintendent's call, that he thinks the chances of us returning to school in person this year are very slim. Now, it's not been ruled out yet, so of course we're preparing for both circumstances. At the end of the year, we know how to do the technical parts of those things: graduation, the awards ceremonies, final exams, all of those end of school year kinds of things. We know how to do those in person. So we have a lot of experience. We know what we would need to do if those were in person. We also understand all in-person events, once we start to have society reopen, will be a different flavor for a while. So we acknowledge that. And at the same time, our administrative teams are working through what are the best ways to handle some of these traditional rites of passage, if you will, kinds of events. So right now, our high school administration team is working through getting feedback from parents, from staff, and from students about if we are not able to do graduation in person, which we all have to say is a probability. It's not a for sure at this point, but I think most reasonable people who are able to see the data and hear the medical experts talk, we know that a gathering of that size, I think most of us would say that's going to be pretty difficult, but we're not going to make any decisions until we have the official word from the state. We are working through scenarios of how can we best honor our seniors during this really momentous time of their life. And again, reaching out and getting lots of different feedback about what's the best way to do that. School districts across the country are taking a variety of approaches. There's no one thing that I've seen yet. Here in Minnesota, one thing that's, across the nation, there's a really neat movement. If you are a Twitter user and you search the hashtag BeTheLightMN, our school district is joining many others. Ours is on Monday nights. We're at 8:20, which is military time for 2020. We're lighting up Memorial Field for approximately 20 minutes so that we are providing hope and honoring our senior class of 2020. And so those are just a few of the things. I know that there's some yard signs being ordered to recognize the class of 2020, but the actual graduation ceremony itself, we are certainly establishing groups that are looking at what's the best way to honor those seniors should we not be able to come back yet this year.
Superintendent Hillman is our guest today on the KYMN Morning Show. Let's move on. Last night's meeting, you have regular business too. School is not the business of the school continues on, and you had a number of items, including, I guess, let's go right into the budget for 2020. You got the proposed budget last night.
Yeah, so we've been doing our budget presentations for the last several months. We actually present our budget in a number of different presentations. So our general fund is our largest, but we also present our community services budget, which is a separate budget under state law, our community services budget, things like our construction budget or our debt service fund, our internal service fund, which governs our self-funded health and medical insurance. So there's a number of different budget components, and we're required by state law to adopt an overall budget by June 30th of this year and of every year. And in this year, we accelerated that process because our outstanding director of finance, Val Murdestorf, is going to have baby Murdestorf number 3 any day now. In fact, I'm thinking she's really hoping it's today. She's ready to have that baby. And so we accelerated all of the budget presentations so that Val would be here for those processes. So we did approve our budget 2 months ahead of when we normally would. We did that last night. The big budget, of course, is the general fund. And we are projecting a deficit spend there next year. As you know, Jeff, we've talked for many years about how we have worked very hard to build our school district's fund balance so that we could maintain our programming despite a chronic underfunding from the state. And so we are projecting a $2.8 million deficit spend next year. That will put us just under 16% fund balance at the end of next year, which 16%, so 16, we try to reserve 16% of our anticipated expenditures each year. And in a case like right now with COVID-19 and all of the financial uncertainty, this is exactly why we have that kind of fund balance. So when you hear a deficit spend of that amount, you might think, oh, geez, you're not in very good financial shape. Actually, we're in very good financial shape. However, we put ourselves in a position to be able to maintain our programming despite the fact that our biggest funder, the state of Minnesota, which gives us 70% of our revenue, has not kept up with inflation but 5 times in the last 32 years. So we are doing exactly what we told the voters we would do in both 2011 and 2017 when they passed our operating levies. We are looking at, because we're dropping below the 16% fund balance goal, which frankly is unusual for districts. We have a higher fund balance goal than most school districts because we want an early warning system to make sure that we can make any budget priorities that need to happen to continue to try to do the best that we can to support the kind of programming that Northfielders have come to expect. But with that, we expect that we are going to do a priority-based budget process next fall. We've been saying that, you know, for quite some time. This is exactly what we had forecast in the 2017 operating levy, that we'd be able to make it through the 2020-21 year without making any kind of budget adjustments. But the time, just like many other school districts in Minnesota, is there for us. We have escaped having routine budget adjustment processes because of the goodwill and the support of our local taxpayers, where many of our surrounding districts have had multiple budget reduction processes since 2011. So we're very grateful to the community for putting us in a financial position where we can attack a deficit from a position of strength. And again, mind you, we're going to be just under that 16% fund balance. So we're in a very strong financial position to make adjustments and ensure that we have programming that meets Northfielders' needs while also maintaining the long-term financial sustainability of the district.
All right, let's move into construction and the work they're doing on the structures, the buildings across Northfield, across the school district. You have Longfellow. Now, Longfellow is kind of the last one to get started, isn't it? Am I correct in
correct,
that?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
This is the final, that's the final project, Jeff, of our 5 different projects that was approved as part of the 2018 bond referendum that was successful. More than 60% of the electorate authorizing us to move forward with these projects. And of course, the big one that people see as part of that bond referendum is the new Greenville Park Elementary School that is going up. I encourage, if you haven't driven by there in a while or taken a look at our webcams, look at it. It's pretty inspiring to see that very, it's an excellent building. It's got a great mix of being a practical building with also being a very fun place for elementary school students. So I encourage folks to take a look at our website. But Longfellow School, as you know, it's our oldest building, built in the late 1940s. And our area learning center is on the second floor of that building. That serves about 90 9th through 12th grade students in an alternative high school format. Those students will stay exactly where they are. They'll actually get one additional classroom up there as some special education faculty will be moving over to the renovated Greenville Park, which we renamed last night as well to the Northfield Community Education Center. So I know people always call it the old Greenville Park, but it's going to be the Northfield Community Education Center as its official name moving forward. And on the first floor of Longfellow and the lower floor of Longfellow, we currently have early childhood programming. So it's our hand-in-hand preschool and it's our licensed child care facility. We also service early childhood special education students out of Longfellow currently. That main floor on the south side of the building, so it would have actually been an addition to the building after late 1940s passing of that building. Those will be renovated into district offices. And so myself and all of our district offices, except for community education, will be located there. The lower floor, which is the basement for Northfielders who've been around a while and went to Longfellow, you may remember the media center was on the lower level. And what was the media center, which is our current child care facility, will be renovated into a formal board meeting room that will also serve as a district-wide training center. So we're trying to get the most benefit for the community out of that investment that people voted in the late 1940s. And while we think that Longfellow is not a great place for young children to learn anymore, we think it's a fine place for superintendents to work. And the bids did come in just under, we'll call it even, it came in $60,000 under the construction budget, which is the most volatile part of any bid. And so we're really thrilled. 4 out of our 5 projects came in under the projected construction budget. And we're really thankful to our partners from Knutson Construction and from Wold Architects and Engineers. They collaborated to do multiple estimates so that they would get as close to being on target as they were able. And as you know, that's a volatile market, Jeff. So we're really pleased with the results that we've had with our two partners who are advising us, Knutson and Wold.
All right. I have a question on Longfellow. Along with those changes you're making to the interior, will there be exterior changes as well? The reason why I ask is we live about a block away from Longfellow and drive by it every day. Is there going to be much different on the outside?
You know, Jeff, you will not notice a lot different on the outside. We are looking to put some windows in on the south side of the building that are not there. And again, trying to create as much natural light in our new district offices as possible. There's windows on the east and west sides of the building, but not on the south side. And so wanting to get a little bit, that's really to the extent of what you'll see. There'll be some parking lot renovation. The current playground that's at Longfellow will be dismantled. It was something we had planned. If we had stayed there with our early childhood programs, we would have replaced it, but we will be removing that playground. We know there's a number of other playground options in that part of the community. So very limited on the outside kinds of changes. Again, some windows is what we're looking to put in on the south side to provide natural light into those district offices.
All right. Superintendent of Schools, Matt Hillman, is with us. We're talking about last night's school board meeting. What else did you discuss last night at the school board?
Yeah, I want to come back to one part about the budget, Jeff, because Director of Finance, Val Murdestorf, talked quite a bit about the potential issues that we have with COVID-19. And so while we're adopting a budget last night, we were very transparent in explaining that we all know that there's also a tremendous economic impact of the pandemic. And I don't think we really truly understand as a society what that is going to be right now. We know more than 3,600 of our friends and neighbors in Rice County have applied for unemployment within the last month. We know it's record across Minnesota and across the nation. We know that businesses, as we continue to stay home in order to make sure that we're avoiding spreading the virus, and in Rice County, we're doing a very good job from the reports that we have from public health, no community spread as of yet. So the things that we're doing are working medically, but we also know that it is putting a strain on a number of business owners. And we just don't know what the economic impact will look like after that. So we're taking a detailed look about how does that affect us. So there are both gains and losses. And of course, in this case, there are more losses than gains. But we, obviously we're not having substitute teachers. We're not transporting extracurricular teams at this time, as the Minnesota State High School League has canceled athletics through at least May 4th. But we also know we're losing some additional revenue on, for example, the activity side. We're losing ticket revenue. We have not refunded our activity participation fees yet, but we anticipate doing so. We're trying to align with the State High School League's decision. We're not getting any facility rental income. We've obviously had to purchase the hotspots to help kids get connected. We're working on making sure that we try to understand what the cost impact of providing this very critical free childcare for the children, school-age children of healthcare and emergency workers. So those are just a few of the kinds of things. We continue to pay by law our Benjamin Bus contract. We're so proud of our partnership with Benjamin Bus, and they are still paying their employees, and so we are still paying our bus contract, and they have been helping us by helping deliver meals, and John Benjamin and his team have said, whatever we need to do for you, Northfield Schools will be there for you. We're looking at those kinds of things, lots of details, and then when you look at the future, we're looking at, I'm going to give you the most broad thing we're looking at to probably some of the more specific things. So we know that some of the estimates that have come out this week are showing that we're going to go from a $1.5 billion surplus at the state to the lowest or the best, the rosiest picture I've seen is a $1.5 billion deficit at the state to upwards of three. I've even seen one report they think it could be as high as a $7 billion deficit. We budget very conservatively, but only anticipating a 1% increase in the basic formula from the legislature. We're thinking that's going to be a stretch right now, depending on how the economic situation plays out. So we're trying to plan that far on ahead. We're also looking at, we know that property tax will be different in terms of how we receive it. It may be delayed. There may be additional folks who just aren't able to pay those property taxes. So from that big picture perspective, we're looking at that budgetary component all the way down to, we are taking actions right now to try to protect our budget by freezing all discretionary spending without explicit permission of administration. We are also, we've gone as far as to change our garbage pickup schedule to mirror what we would normally do in the summer. Obviously, because of the fact that we don't have a ton of people in our buildings, we don't need to have the garbage picked up. So I share those two ends of the spectrum so that the community understands we're looking both at the long-term implications of decisions that we don't necessarily have control about, all the way to when does the garbage man come to pick up the stuff just to save us a little bit of money in that area. So I just wanted to share that with you.
All right. Superintendent Hillman, we are about out of time. Any final thoughts?
We did connect, was our first board meeting that we conducted via video conference as allowed by Minnesota law, statute 13D.021. We did not live stream it, Jeff, but as you know, we did invite members of the local press. So KYMN's Terry Knight was in attendance, as well as Sam Wilmus from the Northfield News. So we did take a resolution to continue doing meetings via video conference as we move into the future until further notice. And we are going to look to move to doing some live streaming, though we're still determining what that process is. So finally, just thanks to everyone in the community. People have been so supportive and kind. We're so grateful for how Northfield has come together to meet the challenges presented by the pandemic.
Now, Superintendent Hillman, thank you so much for taking some time and being with us today. We certainly appreciate that. Best of luck as we all continue to navigate through this.
Thanks, Jeff. You guys have a great day. Take care.
Yeah, we'll see you. Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman. You're listening to 95.1 The One. Coming up in just a moment or so, Terry's got a local news update. Tim McNiff, news with a side of sports. And Jim with traffic, that's all on the way. State news is next.